All right, Ilona LaParis, CEO of The Life School.
Hey, everybody, it's Pearl Sharenza with Women Successful Living, and you are here for another episode of Conversations with Pearl. And I'm so excited. I've met our next guest on social media, which it's so much fun, you guys, to meet some really amazing people and women, especially on social media. And today is no exception. Today, I am bringing you Ilona LaParis. She is a visionary CEO of The Life School. She's a speaker, best-selling author to numerous books, show and speaking events organizer to an audience of over 30,000 heart-driven, service-based entrepreneurs and corporations. She is both a servant community builder and a people connector. And I can tell you she's connected me some amazing people. She's a prior Fortune 500 CEO, also featured in Disrupt, New York Weekly, Business Insider, CEO Weekly, The Business News, and Famous Times. She is, as we shared, the CEO of The Life School, where they help visionary leaders, CEOs, grow legacy, purpose-driven businesses through inner alignment, branding, marketing, sales, and team, so that they can maximize their impact and income to do more good in the world. Her next book is launching in January 24, which is called Visionary Purpose-Driven Leadership. And I'm so excited to welcome you to the show today, Ilona. Welcome. How are you?
Thank you so much, Pearl. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. Like I said, thanks so much for the introduction. I'm doing great.
Awesome. So, Ilona, so where are you located? And remind everybody where you're located at.
I am in Brooklyn, New York.
I thought so. Well, of course, it's right behind you, too. I didn't think about that. Lots of stuff. So are you originally from Brooklyn, New York?
No, originally I'm from Albania, a small country near Italy in Eastern Europe. I moved here to New York when I was 15. So that's where I'm initially from. So I do have that, you know, background and a lot of memories around my childhood being, you know, living there. And of course, New York is my second home and I've been living here for over 25 years now.
Wow. I can't imagine what it was like as a 15-year-old to come to Albania. I remember when I moved to California from Florida, I was just turning 18 and, you know, I was like this teenager, going to California, right? But you went from like another country to New York City. Like, how was that for you? What was the adjustment like for you?
Yeah, it was much like your experience, but you know, a lot of big dreams when you're 15, you know, you don't always know what you want to do, but you have these big dreams, you're excited to get to adulthood. And I grew up actually very fast because I had to start working very early because my parents needed a lot of support financially. They didn't know the language. They didn't have a lot of connections here and all of that. They didn't understand the culture. So I guess I became the third contributor by default in the family because I was the oldest of my other two siblings. So, you know, those first beginning jobs, you know, what could I do? I translated, babysitting, hostess, you know, all these beginning jobs that at least, you know, through what I was getting paid, I was able to contribute to some of the family bills until my parents got more steady jobs. We moved a lot. So I remember a lot of that as well. But with a lot of excitement, because obviously one of the things that my dad always instilled in me when we came here is like, okay, this is the place where you could get to be whatever you want. And, you know, the American dream is here and we're able to achieve it. So I was kind of very early on, I guess, fed the American dream and the fact that you can be anything here and there's a lot of opportunity. And if you work hard, you know, you're able to get it. So those are just some of my early memories when I first moved here.
Yeah. I was thinking like, so when you arrived here, were you already learning English in school? Was that a second language for you?
Yeah, actually, my parents invested in a course when I was back in Albania to learn English. So I knew the basics of the language, even though I had learned it with the more of the English accent than American accent, but I was able to transfer that pretty quickly. But yeah, that's how I knew English a little bit more, I guess, than my parents at that phase in time. But yeah.
I asked because every summer I have a program I've been involved with, gosh, almost 17 years now, where we have students that come over from France and they're anywhere from like 14 to 18 years old. And they come for 3 weeks during the month of July and we place them with homes here in the Tampa Bay area. And I'm always so impressed, like how well they fill out a form and they have to say on the form, like where how do they score themselves in their English, you know, translation? And it's interesting because they always score themselves worse than they really are. Their English is so much better than what they'll score themselves as. And I'm always so impressed because I feel like here in the US, you know, we have, you know, you have to take a second language, but most people take Spanish, which is great because Spanish is very predominant here in the US. But I'm always so impressed because over in France, they take like three languages. So it's not only their own language, but most of them are taking English and then they're taking Mandarin in some cases in Spanish. So it's so impressive that, you know, to see how we do it different here versus other countries. And I'm like, we have so much to learn from that kind of take on like what you were embracing, like learning it in a way that you could learn it. And then even like the French example I gave. And I what you said too, I wrote down was, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. Like I don't know how many ancestors back, but my family came over from Italy, you know, back when they were on, you know, on the island there, I'm drawing a blank now, on the Ellis Island, and they had to change the last name. They had to do all those things that we don't have to do any longer. But I remember the stories of how they had to learn English and that, you know, they didn't speak it and how some of them had to shorten their last name and things like that. But the whole theme has always been growing up. And Chuck and I, my husband and I talk about it because his family he's closer in generations that have come here than I am. And they always talk about, you know, the opportunity, like you can do whatever you want to do that opportunity. And so I love that, you know, in getting to know you, I see how what your dad and your parents instilled in you, you're doing that today for others. You're helping, you know, entrepreneurs and businesses and to learn that there's lots of different opportunities out there for us and to embrace that. So I would love for you to share with the audience, like, how did that come about for you? Where was that transition from, you know, from that 15-year-old who's like, oh my gosh, I'm coming to this country and I'm helping my parents. Like for me, I feel like that's when your entrepreneurial world probably started for you because you were working, going to school and helping your parents. So you're learning how to balance those businesses per se. So how did that lead you to where you are today?
I'll tell you. So I actually did follow that roadmap of the American dream. So I went ahead and got my bachelor's in business management and finance. And then I started climbing corporate ladder. I was at the right place at the right time with the company I worked for. And again, for the many years, you know, I was very happy because the company was in growth mode. I learned a lot. I learned strong leadership. I learned business acumen because I was getting promoted. I think that I don't know what it is, but when you don't have, I guess, when you don't see opportunities and you go someplace else that you do see them, there's always that ambition, that fire that builds inside of you that, you know, I didn't, you know, my parents brought me here because obviously they wanted me to, you know, be successful in the way that parents want us to be successful, right? Security, get a good job, a good pay, a safe family, healthy family, and all of that. So that's kind of, you know, what it was. But even in my corporate career, I was very similar. I looked at gaps and opportunities, and I'm always wanted to like improve. Like I always had the growth thing inside of me, meaning that I wanted to always like, once I learned something, I'm like, okay, what's next? I need to challenge myself for the next thing and the next thing. And it's just, maybe it's a personality thing too, but that's where I've seen it. So that's what I did for 13 years. I climbed the corporate ladder. I did marketing, sales, HR. I was a regional director, my latest position, moving all the way up to executive level. And just like anything, that journey came to an end because on the outside, I looked very accomplished. You know, I had my career. At that time, I had my kids. I got to know my husband. We got married. We bought our home and all of that. And we even, you know, adopted a dog, just like they say, right? All of those things that from the outside look perfect. But I started feeling a lot of inner conflict around even my personal relationships and a lot of the things that I had to heal now for my personal life, now that I know what it is. Back then, obviously, I didn't know why I was feeling this inner conflict when on the outside, like I was fine. There was nothing that, you know, was making me, or I didn't have enough pain, so to speak, because now I know the terminology. But back then, I was like, I was very confused. And I would always, when I would listen, you know, and start practicing a lot of these personal development, you know, practices of a meditation or anything like that, I started hearing that inner voice, like, okay, new path, new journey. You there's something better out there for you. You're meant to do something different, something bigger. So that's kind of where, you know, even on the outside circumstance, a company is bought by a profit-driven culture acquisition, other company that actually was based out of Europe as well. But and then I saw the culture turn very toxic very fast. So that was just my clue. And then my parents' journey came to my mind. And I'm like, if they could rebuild their life in a new country, I already have experience. I already know the language. I already understand the culture. You know, let me try this entrepreneur journey and route. Let me see what this is all about. Because obviously at that point, I had exposed myself to a lot of mentors, a lot of information that I hired mentors, you know, people that could help me kind of reevaluate what I wanted to do next as I was in that period of transition, so to speak. So long story short, that's what I did. 5 years, 2 years, I still worked as I built my business. I started to venture out and kind of tap and feel the real world, so to speak. I still felt like someone that was just, you know, in a structured environment for so many years, and I didn't know what else I wanted to do or where I wanted to take what I had learned there. So I did some executive coaching, some career coaching for the time being. And then I still felt that, okay, I can solve a bigger problem. I started to realize where my gifts lied and where my experience lied. So that's where I've been positioned now in the business world, meaning taking all my gifts and experience in leadership and business acumen and now helping other entrepreneurs, which are much like me, have chosen the channel of entrepreneurship, not because, you know, we necessarily care about building a business, but because we feel like we want to now take all what we have learned and we want to give it back to society in a way or another. We want to contribute, we want to create impact with that. And that's kind of where I landed in my fundamental pillars, which is what I've seen every business, big and small, kind of goes through, which is the branding, marketing, sales, systems, and team. And now I that's what I do. I help people align their purpose with their profits so they can, you know, grow a company that can leave a legacy and also can create meaningful impact in society and beyond.
Oh my gosh, you guys. So if you're listening, I hope you're doing like me. I'm taking all kinds of notes. I always tell everybody before we get on, I might look down, but I'm taking notes because I like to also go back and look at the notes from conversations because the hour flies by so fast. But one of the things I wrote down first was ambition equals fire, right? Like we had that ambition, that's that fire within, you know, like you're doing the corporate world and you knew that there was something more. And sometimes, you know, we grow up, I think it's different. It's definitely evolved, but I too grew up in, you know, in that generation where you go, you get a job, get the family and, you know, the dog and all those things that's, you know, and I also grew up in the family where, you know, mom or granny, because my dad was in the service. So my dad did three tours in Vietnam. So while he was away, we would have to leave North Carolina because they didn't let you stay on base when he went off to war. So we'd go to upstate New York and stay with my granny. And I remember many times like being in the kitchen with granny, you know, fun memories, making cinnamon rolls, cooking, all those things. And then watching my mom do the same thing with us, but then she was working and being mom at the same time. And, you know, so it was like that transition, like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. And, you know, you should be doing that. And I know as I went on my journey and, you know, I was working in a corporate world and then I started doing mortgages and my boss, he's like, you're more than just the processor sitting behind this desk. Like you've got energy, you've got personality, you can talk to people, you can relate, you can guide them through the journey of their loan process. You need to do more. And he pushed me out the door to become a loan officer. And I was like, I fought it at 7 months pregnant. I'm like, are you crazy? I'm like pregnant out to here. You want me to start this career that I don't know. But the whole thing was like, he saw a fire in me of being able to, you know, coach people through challenges. And he's like, you need to do something with that. So when I moved to Florida from Virginia, I was kind of the same thing. We moved here because I thought, you know, I wanted to be that title that I grew up with, be that stay-at-home mom title. And Ilona, I hated it. I couldn't stand it. I was like, you know, I love doing the things, the volunteer things. I love being on PTA, but I didn't like the drama that came with that stuff. You know, I grew up in Florida over in West Palm Beach, and where I went to school, I saw a lot of that where I lived. I was like, I don't like this. So I decided I wanted to do something more. And at the time, I was I needed to lose some weight. So I went on this journey of becoming a health coach. And even through there, I would have clients that would say, you know, Pearl, can my client come talk to you? She doesn't need to lose weight, but you're such a great guidance on walking me through challenges and help me see that the deviation I had that I shouldn't have eaten that thing wasn't so much about the thing I ate, but what was the emotion behind it. And that for me is what that fire, that ambition of saying, as I sat back and realized, you know, I was a people pleaser, as I started doing some inner work, like what you said, we, you know, we grew up in that world where we don't talk about the inner things that, you know, the trauma or things that have defined our childhood into our life. We don't also necessarily talk about, I think we're coming a long way from that, especially since COVID. I think there's a lot more conversation around it, but I too had to do that work. And as I was doing that, it brought up, you know, things that I was like, oh, that's why that shows up in my life. And so I too had that fire of, I'm not alone. How can I help somebody? You know, so yeah, I started my business as an entrepreneur, but like you were saying, it's to, you know, create that problem solving, like help somebody solve the same problem that I've been able to solve. And at the same way, I can pay it forward and make an income with it as well, but I can pay it forward and get some reward as far as the reward of feeling like I've changed somebody's life. You know, I've helped somebody who didn't feel like she had a voice over picking furniture. I helped somebody who, you know, has a situation with a family member who's got serious drug problems to be able to say, it's, you're doing the right thing, even though they want to make us feel like, you know, what we're doing is so bad, right? And so I love that you talked about that, you know, taking those inner conflicts, taking that inner work, doing that work and finding the way to rebuild that life, but also taking what has created into a business and how you guide people through taking and paying it forward while being an entrepreneur and finding that, you know, that inner fire, that ambition within. And I love that you talked about mentors too, because I think it's really important to have people like you, like when you're starting. So if you are listening and you're thinking about starting a business, when I looked back, the one thing I didn't grab, Ilona, was a mentor. The one big thing I didn't have was a business coach. Like I didn't have those two pieces of the pie to be like, this is where you start. So I kind of was like going through it on my own, right? And so I love that that's the journey you help entrepreneurs with. So walk us through some of that as somebody who's a new entrepreneur, maybe like what are some of the top five tips you think somebody should get as starting as a new entrepreneur?
Yeah, I love that you shared the piece of the fire. I think now I would rearticulate it to be purpose, because we all have a certain fire inside of us, right? That we're born with that. And the whole journey of self-discovery and inner work and healing our trauma and realizing how we're self-harming ourselves. For you, probably was people-pleasing. For me, it was overachieving. That was my definition of how I thought I would be loved, because I didn't feel, you know, good enough and all of that. So that's part of the process of the inner work. But I think to each his own, once we discover that, I think fire means purpose. And once we realize, you know, where that fire comes from and what is that, you know, problem, big problem that we want to solve in the world, then that's where everything begins. And I've learned two things from my corporate career, or just working with people, even in my business with so many clients, is that money just can take us so far. It's a great tool. We need it. No issues. I have no problem making it. I have no problem using it for the higher service of my personal goals and even for what I think will create impact with others. But at the end of the day, I realized that the two things that will meet the needs of our soul and will make us happy spiritually, I guess, as humans, as we are spiritual beings, is fulfillment and contribution. When we learn and when we're always growing and expanding as humans so that we can contribute more. So there's a direct correlation between those two, which is why I think it's important that we find work that is meaningful, that we find work that is connected to that fire or purpose, because then again, you don't need an alarm clock. You don't need, you know, yes, you will have a lot of challenges, but that's exactly why you need to be clear on that, because those challenges were just come and, you know, you just see those as lessons because that fire is so strong that it's just always attracting you. It's like it becomes your life's mission. People call it different things, vocation. And as you evolve and grow, you're able to expand and give more and contribute more. So not to be afraid to stay in those future versions of yourself or present versions of yourself, because I think another thing that we all need to do to expand to be happy and fulfilled is to learn and grow always, and always, you know, contribute back what we have learned. So the more we grow, the more we go through challenges, the more we want to give that back to someone else. So that would be, you know, my framework around the startup entrepreneur, someone like me years ago that didn't know where to start. I also wasn't even trained on how to think properly, I believe, even from school and the corporate world. You know, we always get trained to think of how can I do something. But if you're missing gaps and if you lack education and skills to be able to bridge that gap, whether it's build a business that you probably never built before or learn how to overcome people pleasing, which you probably have never done before. I think the default question we are taught is, how do I do it? I think the best question is, who can I find that will help me get there? Because with that, you can have massive impact. And there's always someone, a who behind any goal that you want to achieve. And as you grow and expand your company as well, those are the right conversations. That's the right mindset to have when you want to make decisions to expand your business. But those beginning phases of a startup are always similar. You want to, again, figure out that problem you want to solve. What is that main result you're able to provide for people, be able to articulate it clearly. And then the other piece is, again, find the people you want to serve, right? And figure out specifically, I say the easiest way is to find people that are pretty much your past version of you, because that's the easiest, you know, market or demographic or people you want to serve. Because you've already been through that journey. You already know how to articulate these pain points and results that they want in their lives. And you're able to, you know, to show up and actually share that message that will resonate with them. So I would say those are some of the beginning pieces as you start to build the bricks around your business. And then, of course, your business model that will support the transformation you want to give people with based on the result. There's always a process behind the result. Nothing comes by magic, right? So figuring out that business model and pricing that correctly, that aligns with your goals, your personal goals at the beginning. And then later on, as you expand, you might need to add on a different business model, different offer. So you might need to tweak it, right? And get it ready for scale. Because usually the two main problems are inconsistent cash flow at the beginning because you're missing a lot of the bricks. And then later on, you want to scale. So it's usually those two main problems most businesses face, if I were to categorize them into like just two big buckets. And that's usually why people come to me as well for. But those are some of the beginning things. And then just putting yourself out there, going to the people you want to help, right? Being visible, sharing, caring, serving, building relationships, always, you know, thinking that in business, it's always the who, right? And again, not the how. Who are the people that I want to help? And what is that process for me to build know, like, and trust with them? And then again, you know, having an intentional journey to how is it that you're actually doing that, building authority in the marketplace. You can do many things to do that today. This podcast is a great way to do it, right? You know, maybe a book, you want to speak, you know, you want to articulate what you do very clearly. You want to go and add value to those communities that have the people that you want. You want to tap into other people's audiences that have your people. You want to collaborate with others that you're in complementary gift sharing or resource sharing. I build this, this much resources for this particular client. My next who is always in joint partnerships or strategic collaborations is always asking, who has my client and how can I collaborate and complement what we both do, because obviously that's a very fast way to grow your business beyond, you know, the traditional routes of marketing, which is organic ads, you know, all the different ways that we can do it. But I would say those are some of the beginning bricks that you want to build and have in place, you know, the audiences, the relationships, your content, your visibility. And once you have that clarity, then the rest of the pieces become about just rinse and repeat and continue and stay consistent. And, you know, a lot of that stuff that's not sexy, but it's necessary to be able to show up and build trust and for you to give your business a chance to improve its processes over time so that you can start adding on the right systems and team for scalability or even the right business model. So it's almost building that base so that you could do the second piece. And most entrepreneurs go with the top thing. They want to scale right away when they don't have a lot of these things. That's another big pain point that I see. Even their business model, they don't have a lot of these pieces. They'll just go for something very cheap that needs a lot of volume of sales for you to even make money or even become profitable or have consistency in your sales. Right. So unless you understand a little bit of that bigger map, people usually are focusing on the wrong priorities at the wrong time. And I always say, don't solve the wrong problem at the right time and expect to have results, because you're just going south when you're supposed to go north.
Right.
That's why people that have been there, done that, the who's are very, very important in our journey and helping us, support us with those steps that we need to implement to get to that certain result.
Yeah, I love that too. Like, because you're right. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, I went south when I need to go, you know, I try to go north when I need to go, you know, I was like all over. What do I go east? Go what? I was like, so, you know, I didn't have that guidance. I just knew where I was at. I wasn't happy, wanted to, you know, I knew the problem I wanted to solve and who I could solve with, but like getting the different pieces of the pie, like who do I need? I love what you said about the, you know, who's a past version of me. I knew that that was definitely the past version of me, but like also like not just how, but who do I need to get connected with to help me make sure I'm taking those right steps, like, you know, having that, you know, the business coach or the mentor or somebody. And I think too, a lot of times I remember this as well. And when I look back, I'm like, why did I get so blocked into that? Sometimes we forget that our competition can be our best mentor. It, cause somebody who's done it as, you know, doing that, you know, like I used to laugh, like in the weight loss world, like the person I would learned underneath, she has a clinic. She's like, oh, don't talk to those people cause they're our competition. I was like, well, there's really like so many options to lose weight out there, right? There's tons of options to lose weight. I'm like, so why would I not talk to them? Because, you know, I love collaborating, going like, what are some of the problems you're hearing? How are you helping them resolve that? And I think that's what led me to that journey where I was like going, okay, the common, you know, a lot of problems we're hearing are X. So let me hear what my client's saying. Let me see if I can help them understand the emotion and you know, walk them through when that shows up again. Here are some tools in your toolbox you can, you know, possibly choose. And so that's when I really started understanding, you know, the need for mentors. But also when I look back, when I first started my business, like going, who is the success of where I want to be at? Because they've done some hard work. So let me go pick their brain about like what we're talking here today. What are some things I should be aware of? What are some things I need to have in place? And who do I need to have on my team to make sure I do it successfully? Because I will tell you the one big thing for me, Ilona, that when I look back is understanding. So if you are listening and you're starting a business, like understanding what my hourly rate is, like, and then looking at that going, if I could bring a VA and pay them, you know, $8 to $10 an hour to do this task, because it will allow me to earn what my hourly rate is. That was so valuable. That was a lesson I learned like 6 years into my business. Like, you know, here I am trying to send emails or do these, like even social media posting is when I could have brought a team member on and said, I'm going to let you do this messaging piece for me because I'm more valuable over here. Right. So knowing, you know, who I have to have on my team to help me build that success. And then, you know, the process of that result too, you know, and how do I want to get there? I think is really, really important as well, because like you said, in order for us to grow, we have to have, you know, we have to figure out where those gaps are. We have to bridge those gaps. It's keeping us from the growth. You know, this year going into 24, I have a lot of focus on, you know, I do a yearly retreat, like growing that retreat, but not having like kind of scaling it down some, but so that it can grow up more. Right. So all the things I do at the retreat, I give so much. But sometimes when I look back, I think it was too much for the audience that was attending. So how do I scale back so they can walk away with more? Because it is, you know, learning like what that messaging is and how that messaging is being received, I think is so important as well. And then also going into 24 for me is having processes in place that allow me to be focused on who my client is and growing that clients as well. But I do, one of the things that I wrote down too is like starting out as an entrepreneur, like getting out there. I think sometimes, and I know I've been doing this with my husband, he bought a business and he does the real estate signs. So when a realtor puts a post in this house for sale, he puts the post in for the realtor to hang their sign outside for. And I'm like, you need to get out more. And like, he's grown it really well just through word of mouth without having to do any marketing. But I'm like, the market's changing. There are some sign companies are going away. You need to figure out how to tap into that business to help you scale up. And so I'm telling him, go out into the world and let your face be seen, you know. And some people are shy about that, Ilona. Some people are afraid to go out to like a network group or a network meeting or stuff like that. So can you talk to that person who's like, I want to get out there, but I'm really afraid like how to do it. And then also, what's the best way to do it? Because I know when I first started, I was like doing chambers and I was doing like a BNI. I think I was too much out there. So what would you say are some tips around like picking where to put yourself out there at?
Yeah, I love your question, Pearl. But let me go back to two things that I think were very important, back to what you just described, which is competition and also the fact that, you know, how do I bring in the right team members? I think that's an important aspect to growing, right? Because again, it's only one of you and you have to understand where your time should be strategically placed or spent. Maybe at the beginning, you do have to, you know, spend your time not only in high dollar amounts of timing, but also even in tasks or roles that maybe you don't enjoy so much. And that's the beauty of growing, because then you can bring in the right people and do that. But the way I look at competition is very, very healthy, just like anything. The competition, the more you look at your competition, more you study your competition, more you could see the gaps of how you actually are different and what competitive advantage do you actually bring to the table. And that's all up to you and your marketing and how you articulate that. So it gives you great information of what makes you different as well, because you see how they operate. And obviously, you could see your unique branding competitive advantage, so to speak. And you can, that becomes actually a really great way for you to share your messaging with people that way as well. And then look for gaps and opportunities, especially in the service-based business. We have so much more gaps. We have so much more ways to complement one another, even if another person does exactly what is it that I do. But at the end of the day, when you build a brand, it's all about authenticity. Maybe something about my personal journey attracted one certain person and somebody else was attracted to you for, let's say, we're doing similar work. And that's all very authentic and unique, and you'll never know that. So you just got to be true to yourself, have very clear values in your company, have very clear vision and mission, and just keep growing and evolving and always be focused on how can I improve myself, my company, my team, my processes, my offers, my results, my transformations. If we focus on that, then let other people do what other people need to do, because this is an abundant universe. There's enough, there's someone for everyone. That's kind of what I've learned along my journey. And the other piece is, which is why I feel so passionate about the work I do and coaching CEOs and solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, and CEO level, because obviously we also grow as an entrepreneur. We start a solo and we go to entrepreneurship as we hire some people. And then we go to CEO once we have more of a structured company, teams, and all of those things in place already. I think it's important for you to have that clarity of your vision, mission, values, but also what are the right pieces of the tasks and activities that I need to do, so that you start bringing in the right people and putting in the right systems. Because I've seen this so many times that entrepreneurs or business owners bring in different teams or different people thinking okay, I'm going to hire a VA and she's going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and maybe those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are not really income generating activities. Maybe they're not even, you don't even know the purpose of why she's doing what she's doing, so that she can add value to you monetarily as well. Not only time, saving you time, but so it's always those two things, right? You save your time and you gain time by doing it, or you are saving money or making money, right? It's always those two main metrics of why we do what we do. So I think it's important for entrepreneurs to do that. And then the third piece is what you asked me around, the visibility. A lot of the mindset shifts around that. I've had the same problem at the beginning, because in corporate, I didn't have to show up on social media and go and interview places and all of these things, right? I was under that, structure. And obviously public speaking, I've done it, long time there. And just like anything, it becomes easier as you go. It's one of those skills that if you don't have it, it's for the sake of you serving others. So one mindset shift that has helped me, especially in the beginning when I need to show up on socials or even go attend events, to network and see who I could build good relationships with, was me being in service. Not worrying about me, not worrying what's that I need, not being ego driven, like how can this person help me? Just generally just going out there and being a student, like a curious child, like what can I learn from this event? What can I learn from this person that I'm talking to? Listen more than we speak. I think listening is such a powerful thing that we can do as communicators and business owners, and we don't always learn that skill as well. When we grow up as well. And even in sales, listening is 80% of everything, right? So building that skill, being attentive, being curious, listening. When I showed up on social media at the beginning, I'm like, I don't care how many people view this, because sometimes it's the fear of like, who's going to watch this, the fear of failure and all of that. Or how am I going to sound? I'm going to get stuck. I don't know if I can articulate what I want and all of that. So just thinking of, even if one person heard this message right now, it served the purpose, because I want to share what I know with someone and it might help somebody. So just being in service and removing yourself out of the noise that we do to ourselves as humans, I think it's a very powerful thing to eventually adapt. And the more you do it, just like any skill, the more you will improve it over time and it will become muscle memory. Like now it's just, you just show up and you share it, right? You speak, you even speaking, because I train a lot of entrepreneurs in the speaking side, because for most of them, they want to make it their main business model. Or for some of them, it's just that thing that they do alongside to grow their business. And just like anything, if you want to be a better speaker, just slowly baby steps into speaking, speak to one person, then speak to two, then speak to three, then speak to four. If you want to go out there live speaking, speak to a small group of five, small group of 10, and then expand and expand and expand. Because the more you share, the more your message articulates, the more you find your unique voice. If you don't practice it, then you don't even know what is the unique perspective that you carry. So at the beginning, it's just you getting a lot of practice. Don't worry about the results. That's kind of how I think of any new skill. Just I'm just me learning, but this is important enough because it ties to my bigger thing. So it's worth me learning, going through some of the growing pains, some of the anxieties, some of the mindset shifts that I need to make and all of that. And then the other part is focusing. I think it's important to understand that, how do I build know, like, and trust? And today you can do it in so many ways. You don't necessarily have to do the live networking, even though relation build know, like, and trust is always faster. Building trust building process is always faster when I get to meet you in person. But now there's so many ways that you can do it virtually as well. So having a clear strategy of, I think it always starts with who you want to serve. And then always think of that. And then the next question is always, where are they hanging out? And that's how you know where you need to be. I mean, that's pretty much it. And that's how you filter all the opportunities, all the Facebook groups you need to be part of. Because there's another thing too, just because you can reach a lot of people on social media, I think people try to be all over that, they get burned out. You have to be very strategic, very intentional, very clear. Once you have that, you don't work hard anymore, you work smart. and you build relationships. It's almost like you're laser focused. Even if you worked on 1 to 2 very intentional high level activities for the day, your day is a win. You don't have to work 20 hours a day. Half an hour, 1 hour of focused activity will move you further faster than you just spending being busy 20 hours and creating a job for yourself as an entrepreneur. So that would be my share on that.
I love that, like being focused, like even like you said, like, even if it's just like being laser focused on 1 or 2 activities, you're right. You can get more done and try to like be busy and make it, you know, busy work, and it doesn't happen. And I love like talking about figuring out like where to go network at, what place to be network at. You're right. First of all, it's social media. There's so many, I get so many invites, and I've now gotten where I'm like, so tell me about your group. Why, what, you know, what would be the benefit of me joining the group? What, you know, what I will ask questions to try to get more about why I should be part of the group. And because I look to see like, who are they serving? Is it someplace I want to hang out, you know? And if it's not, then I just say, thanks very much. It's, you know, I'll keep it in mind. But I do like what you talked about, like being in service. It's one of the reasons why, like, I enjoyed my time when I did the Rotary, because I was like, I was giving something while I was meeting other people. And in that circle, I was able to meet people that I could help as well. But it was becoming very natural because people got to know me and they would refer, you know, to me. It's sort of like when I did go on my journey for, you know, overcoming people pleasing, one of the things I did was like literally start learning to say no to others with literally a pebble, like putting a pebble in my hand and having to move it 3 times a day. And as I did that, I realized I was also able to start connecting people. As I, if I said no, but I would be like, oh, Ilona would be great at this, I would connect you with that person. I was noticing I was opening doors, which then that person was like going, gosh, thanks so much, Pearl. They would start listening for something they could connect me to that would benefit, you know, what I do and I serve. And so I love that you were, you know, you talk about that and remind us of that. And I love what you said, listen more. That's so true. We don't learn that as entrepreneurs. And that's something that I learned later in my world of business. Like as a coach, when I was first starting out, you know, just wholly on the weight loss part, I learned that on my own. Like I didn't learn that from the coach I trained under or anything. In fact, I remember when I was, cause I was on my own journey. I found this coach and then she's like, you'd be a great coach, because I would always challenge her with things. Like she would, you know, I would come in and I would share like if I had a challenge or a deviation. And I remember it was like going, I remember a couple of times I said, you're not listening to why I had the deviation. You're just telling me I shouldn't, because it set me back 3 days. Don't you think I know that? I mean, I already know. I'm already mad at myself. I almost didn't come into this appointment because I was like, well, the scale is going to show this, right? But so she, and that was one of the things she said to me. She goes, you really taught me how to listen about why, not so much that what they cost themselves. They already, we already know what we cost ourselves. But why was it important to understand that going forward when it comes up, how can I be better prepared, you know? And so I love that you, you know, because that is one thing as entrepreneurs, we forget we have to listen more. We think we want to give them the answers, you know, and we do have to listen more. And being in service has what's helped me to go out and network as well. And one of the lessons I've learned from that, Ilona, too, is like sometimes the group you're networking with, it, just like with people in our lives, it has a season. Sometimes you have to look at it and say, you know, maybe it's changed. Maybe the group's changed. Maybe the dynamics of the group has changed. And while it started out being what it was, something that was a great fit for you at that time, may no longer be a fit for you anymore. So I think it's also, would you agree to always be reevaluating who and what is what you're doing for activities to help grow your business, right?
Yeah, especially with relationships, just like anything in life, there's seasons. Not every relationship that you make or communities that you align with, maybe when you were trying to figure out, you know, certain pieces of the business, you identify with those communities. But as you've grown and evolved, you know, maybe you just have outgrown that community. And that's also very okay, because as long as we're grateful for the service and the relationships that you have made, I have learned in my journey not to shut down relationships. They'll be like, okay, this is no longer, you know, fitting me and aligning me. I've learned to prioritize, because those relationships maybe right now are not top of mind or are not really aligned with me. I love the word aligned. because it's we align with where we are in our growth journey, also in our business. So instead of just, you know, shutting down people and being like, well, I don't know, I knew Pearl years ago, but now I'm no longer aligning with Pearl and let me just, I don't know, disconnect or whatever. I don't agree with that. I think as long as we're there for the long term, in the long term journey, Pearl could be in a different spot in a year or 2 years, and we can be great assets for each other as she's learned and grown and I've evolved as well. So I say prioritize the time that you put into certain relationships and communities, but it's very natural that you'll outgrow them because you're in a different spot. When you join that community, you're looking for different things and your purpose changed. But now that you've evolved, you've grown, evolved, gained a lot of wisdom, experience, you know exactly, you know more and you're focusing on different things. So it's very natural to start aligning with some other people that might be in that common journey in their lives or businesses as well. And I say that as long as you know how to place the right priority around the relationships around you at the right time, then, you know, be in this for the long term and you know, stay fulfilled with long-term relationships rather than kind of just look at people like numbers, like, well, I don't know if she could do something for me right now. So I'm not going to, you know, don't do that. I think that's the worst we can do because we're always growing and evolving. There's people that have known me for years that maybe when I first met them, you know, we didn't have much of a, because I didn't even have all these resources that I have. I was probably at the beginning of my journey as an entrepreneur, and I didn't know what I could do to be a resource. So maybe we had that space, but now as we have reconnected, now in a different spot. So now I can add value in a different way and vice versa. So always look for that value exchange and it will be different than every phase and stage of the journey that we're in. So either you align, you know, with people that are further along with you or further back from you, but everybody has some value that they can add. So as long as you have that focus, I think, you know, you'll be having that return on your investment and time and energy on those relationships as well, rather than just feel like, you know, they kind of, you've outgrown them for the time being. Right. You can always rekindle later on. You never know.
Yeah, you're right. It's so true because you never know when something will circle around, because I have had that happen where, you know, I was working with somebody and we, you know, for whatever reason, we just didn't align anymore, or we just sort of evolve different ways and then come back full circle. And I can be like, hey, oh my gosh, I know so-and-so, let me reach out to her, see if she's still in this space so I can refer you to her. And, you know, that kind of thing. I think it's a great reminder to us to keep those avenues open and not to always, you know, my girlfriend, Lisa, she calls it your balcony people. Sometimes they come on your balcony, they're hanging out with you for a little bit and they've got to go to a different party. And then, you know, later on, they got to come back on your balcony because there's a different kind of need in what's happening and what you're doing or they're doing. I love that. That was a great reminder that you shared with us. So let's talk about you, Elena. I was just looking, I'm like, oh my gosh, our time's going by. Let's talk about you. Like, when a client comes to work with you, what are some of the things that a client can expect when they're coming to work with you?
Yeah. So what I am very proud of doing my clients is keeping them focused on the right activities and on the right priorities so they can save time and also make money. That's always my main goal. I always say is they're building their brand and know, like, and trust, which takes time. We look for opportunities of those relationships that we can leverage right away, whether, again, it's for a potential client or a potential strategic partnership that they can get into right away. But what I do is, again, I know the process of getting them to that certain result. So most, if you're coming maybe for that inconsistent cash flow pain point and problem, then we take a look at it, take a look at what they've built so far already. Maybe I see gaps in their business model. Maybe I see the gap is in their audience. Maybe I see the gap is in their relationship. So I quickly, you know, offer value right away, depending on, you know, where is it that they have that gap. As we start to continue to build the brand and build all these different pieces or bricks in their business, from maybe they need to start a podcast, maybe they can start writing a book, maybe they can be more consistent with their content, maybe they can get more familiar with building all that can trust and building relationships, right? So as they go through the process of growing their business, you know, I take a look at all the things that are the high impact activities for their brand and also for the cash flow piece, because I know cash flow is very important. for you to be able to sustain what you're doing in your efforts, but also to be able to start investing back in the business, whether it's maybe they have a lack in their system, they don't have an email list yet, or they don't have a way for people to be part of their ecosystem in their business. So I'm very good at the big picture. And I'm also very good at, okay, here's the big picture. Now here's the steps we take to get there as we work smart, not hard, keeping them focused and also introducing new things as they learn and grow and implement things along the journey. And then for scalability, it's the same thing, looking at where are the gaps and making a plan with them around what are those things that they need to do to implement. Usually starting with the business model is always like I would say 80% of the time is an opportunity for scaling, meaning whatever got them to that phase is not necessarily going to get them to the next level. So we look for those opportunities to put in the right systems and the right teams. And then for the bigger corporations, I'm their fraction COO. So I just help them with their operations. Pretty much we clean up the house, we ensure everything is working profitably, efficiently. And then we, you know, focus on growing in the current market or new markets if they want to expand, depending on what the vision and mission of the CEO is. So in a nutshell, that is my approach, is how I help.
And I think that's great, because it's like I feel like, you know, again, looking back, if I had somebody like you, it's a great way to look at my business and have a benchmark of what my roadmap needs to look like to get to where I want to be. And then also, I love how you say, you know, you understand we have to make an income, but we also have to reinvest into our business so that we're always doing things to help us scale and grow. And I think that's a great journey. So if you are listening to us and you're wondering, you know, where you start, Ilona is a great person for you to reach out to, which I'm going to ask you to share in just a second, Ilona, how people can reach out to you, because she can take you down that roadmap. She can help you see, you know, make sure you're identifying who your client is and you truly understand who you serve. So you are getting the message out to the right places and the right circles that you need to be in, so that person you're wanting to serve is showing up for you and you know where to go find them. And having that roadmap is so, so important, you guys. For those of you who are listening and watching, it's such an integral part of starting a business. It's to know where you start. Because yeah, you can go get your business license, you can go get your, you know, LLC and whatever it is you're going to get, but it's like, what's that next step? Like, who do I need to have to help me get to the next step? And so that's really important. And I would say definitely a business coach, definitely an accountant for sure is the other thing too. I'm married to my accountant and my auditor, so I had that right away. But, you know, having that roadmap is so integral to starting your business. And so Ilona, tell everybody how they can reach out to you, where they can find you as well.
Yeah, they can find me on my website. I have a free masterclass, actually. One of my other abilities is to connect the dots for people. That's why I do a few pillars and people teach them, you know, differently. But for me, I have that experience over 20 years and also the knowledge and expertise, obviously, based on the work I've done to connect it all for them. Because again, yes, you can have an amazing idea. You can have an LLC filed. You can have a lot of those paperwork or even the website and logo. Most people think that's the most important piece. But, you know, can you connect the other pieces of your, how do you build your brand? How do you build your, how do you do your marketing? How do you, you know, do your sales and the rest of the pieces, which is so important, because it's like almost like when you go on a health journey, you cannot take a look at your eating habits or your physical exercise. Business is the same. We have branding. We need to do marketing. It's all part of the journey and the process of growing it, right? So that's the same thing. But I do have a 60-minute masterclass of scare people in 60 days, where they can, I have connected all those different dots for them, giving them the bigger picture to what is it they need. And I've also found that in my journey, once I get the big picture, then I'm like, okay, I could see exactly where I'm missing, where my gaps are. And then obviously you decide whether it's you could want to implement on your own or get someone to hire you and focus on the whole. That will be your decision. But that's what's on the website. It's at IlonaLaparicoaching.com.
Awesome. And we're going to make sure we put that in all the show notes. So those of you that are driving and listening, you'll be able to go back and find it in the show notes. You can look it up and find all that information. And it's been so much fun. I love Ilona, and I have had many different conversations and having her here, because I love to bring this kind of information, especially as we go into the, you know, those of you that are listening, it's probably already, the year's already started by the time this gets released, but you're in that new year. You want to start the year off really strong. And so it's really important to have that, you know, the right team with you, have the right people that can guide you, and which is, you know, something that we're doing the first of the year. You know, from my coaching is helping people overcome people pleasing or those saboteurs and judges that are holding you back. We're actually are launching, it's called a glow up challenge. And you can join us anytime. You don't have to start at the same time as everybody else because it's at your own pace, but it's a 30-day challenge just to do simple things that you can start radiating in your life and start glowing up and showing up for who you want to be. And you might do something as simple as like writing in a journal or having a pillow fight with a friend, you know, just some fun things around self-care, just to sort of start your day off on a really fun note. And that's what we're going to be doing. But Ilona, I am so excited we've had you here today. And everybody, Ilona knows that we do our cards, our Better Questions, Better Life cards. These are cards my friend Carol Gill and her friend Diane Allens did. They're over 70 cards. And I draw a card every day and I like journal on it. I might meditate on it. Just it's great question cards. So I'm going to shuffle them and I'm going to have you tell me when to stop. And we're going to have Ilona answer the card today. So when you're ready, tell me when to stop.
Stop.
All right. So your card says, oh, this is a great one. Why do I exist?
Ooh. That's a very deep question, but connected to purpose. So nothing is by chance, right? I love that question. I exist to always self-explore, to learn and grow as an individual, to keep evolving. And then the more I expand as a human in all my capacities, not just in one area, the more I get to feel joy, the more I get to impact other people around me, the more I get to do things I love to do, focus on the things that I'm probably naturally good at, and that way I can be in service to others. But overall, you know, it's that kind of deathbed test, like, okay, you know, did I do all the things that I could have possibly was capable of doing, or even that maybe my inner intuition guided me to do? And I just ignored it or didn't know how to read it or all of that, because I've learned that there's a strong correlation between our own inner wisdom and strong intuition. That is kind of like our guidance and compass towards our life's purpose, that it helps us connect the dots or make the right decisions that are going to lead us, you know, into that unique, authentic journey. So I think that is why I exist. I believe, you know, there's other journeys from this physical life for spiritual beings. So there's, you know, other dimensions that we reach once we pass physically, but and probably other lives we have lived as those spirits have, you know, they're an entity. There's no limitation. And the awareness, and also raising your awareness, I think it's another important piece to growing. Because then you can really start to tap into some things that are going to help you connect your dots better for your individual journey. So I think that's why I exist.
I love that. I love that because, you know, the self-exploration and, you know, learning how to evolve. And like you said, like all that equals to like that purpose. It all equals that purpose. It's like when I coach my clients, you know, one of the things, because we talk about the Shiro method and we talk about, you know, the Shiro method is developed from becoming stronger in what you believe you're supposed to be doing, you know, and as you become stronger, you start feeling happier because you're doing the things you love to do and you're doing things that bring you purpose. And then as that happens and you become, you know, more empowered to go after that, you know, that thing that's sitting on the shelf or go after that dream that you've been like, whether it's being on a Broadway play or being the best mom you can be, whatever that is, you know, that's to do that. And as you do that, you get this like radiance. That's why we're coming with the glow up. Like you start seeing it. People are noticing it about you. They notice that there's something new happening in your life. And then you become that original self that you're supposed to be. And I love sharing when I coach with my clients, I'm like, you know, as we walk through that Shiro method and that path, I'm like, you know, they start finding, they're like, oh, I always felt that way. And I say, when we come into this world, you know, whoever you believe in, you know, for me, it's like God, he says, I've given you this. This is what I've molded inside of you. I want you to go and do something with this. And then when we don't do something with it, we don't fulfill our purpose, but you also don't get to empower like Ilona's doing and like I love to do. You don't get to empower others to find how to grow a business or find how to show up in our life authentically. And so it's really important that we do that work, that we, you know, we find that purpose and we work on it, we nurture it, And I'm glad that we had this conversation on this today, because I think it's so important. And Ilona, I'm so excited that we've connected through social media, and, you know, and like you said, we having that in-person iteration was so great, but there's so many other ways to connect. And like, that's the one thing I love about my podcast. It's the one thing I love about doing Zoom meetings, is that it gives me another world, another way to connect with people across the world that maybe I would have gotten to meet before. And so I'm so honored that you were able to join us today.
Yeah, I'm very honored to be here. And I love the conversation. And definitely, I love the challenge of glow up, because I definitely think that the more we learn how to discover the things that glow us up, the happier we are as humans, and the more we will naturally contribute. It's not like a thing you have to think about anymore. It's just share that. You radiate it. It's your energy. It's all the stuff there. So definitely share that in our community as well. The
life. Oh, I will. For sure. And so as we leave the show, as I always share with all of you, you know, we come into this world, we are this oyster on the outside, we're a little rough, you've got to do some work, and you got to find that purpose. And as you do that, you do find your inner pearl to greatness. And I hope each and every one of you go out today and you find your inner pearl to greatness, and you start glowing up in your life. Have an amazing day. Had to walk out.